you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? I screwed up. I have to apologize. I am so sorry. I had to do something this morning. I thought I could be back. And I was going to apologize so much. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson, the one guy from Blog Talk. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We are worldwide. Today we have a very special guest today, and I think I see her in the room, in the studio. I listen to her music, and been hearing a lot about her. The title of the show, The Great Annalisa Dunker. She's live right now. She's right here in the studio. And if you'd like to come to the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. You can come in the studio and you can ask some questions and your voice will be heard around the world. That's true. That is absolutely true. It's going to be a great interview. I only have it for 15 minutes. And everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to open up the microphone right now. Now, hopefully she's here. Wow, I got a full studio today. Wow. Wow. I'm looking at about 12, 13 people, and I just got in. And I didn't even have coffee. That's cool because she's so interesting, I don't need coffee. Let me open the mic to Robin.
You.
Because Robin's responsible. Good morning, Robin. Is this Robin?
Good morning.
Good morning. I am so sorry I should have been here. I tried my best. I go, oh, my God, I can't miss this. Robin, would you like to tell me and tell my audience who is the great Annalisa Dunker?
Well, she is probably the nicest person I have ever met. And I have been talking with her for years now. And I mean, she just produces one great video and song after another. I mean, you kind of caught me early, too. I didn't have to call me either.
Oh, that's okay. Wow. So you've known her for years. You've known her for years.
Not in person. And so just
online. It's okay.
Just online.
Just online. So you met online, you heard about her music, I'm sure you talked, it's fair to say you met her for over 4 or 5 years, am I correct?
I'm not around that, it may be longer
okay.
Now.
Okay, because when you talked to me, you said, I have this guest, she would be perfect for the show, she's great, she's talented. I looked at her, I listened to her music, and I looked at her information, I go, you know what? You're right. Well, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to introduce her. Now, I have two numbers that I think might be hers. One is a 310 and one is a 323. 323 is Los Angeles, I'm thinking, and 310 is also Los Angeles. Which one is Anna? Is Anna?
I don't know.
Really? All right, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to use our our spiritual sense, and I'm going to go, let's see, together, you and I think hard, and we're going to pick one, okay? Okay, ready? Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I picked a great Annalisa. Just a second. Here we go. Annalisa, everybody.
Hello.
Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus?
Oh, wait.
I love this presentation. Hi,
well, good morning.
That's me.
Hi.
You picked the right number.
Good morning. It was a great, it was a great meeting I had with Robin, talking about you and getting involved with you. And I never really interviewed somebody who loved the environment so much as you do. And I just want to say welcome to the show. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you, Robin. You're... It's an honor to be here today. And I've heard a lot of good things about this show. So thank you so much for having me. And we can talk all things environment today if you want.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that, too. But you are interesting, too. And I'd like to know, how was it? Where were you born? Where were you born? And why did you feel you had to sing about the environment issue? So where do you, you know, where are you born?
I was born in Italy, actually, in a small town near Venice in Italy. And I grew up there and, you know, I started singing and making music when I was very, very little. And then I moved to Spain in my early 20s and I stayed there for several years until Pasadena and Los Angeles happened. It was actually a very curious turn in my life because my husband and I came here just for a house swap, you know, like in the movies. Like we did a house swap from Barcelona to Pasadena with a lady and we simply fell in love with the place. And then, you know, from there, a series of, you know, chain reaction happened and we just managed to get a visa and we moved here. So, you know, the music was definitely present before in all my years in Italy and in Barcelona, but it definitely amplified when I came here to Los Angeles. And I think that probably my current project, Inanna, which is completely dedicated to the future of nature and animals and our planetary situation, I think it was really born also because I was here. Maybe in the previous conditions it couldn't have happened, but Los Angeles really gave me an input to try to be as close to myself as I could be. And the passion for nature and animals has always been so big in me that it felt inevitable. I just had to do it. And, you know, especially in these very urgent times where climate and environmental issues should really be much more to the forefront of culture, I really felt that I had to dedicate my music to this.
Well, you have a beautiful voice. I really like your voice. But are you taking a risk? Oh, you're welcome. Are you taking a risk about singing for a cause? You say an environmental issue where you could be singing pop rock or heavy metal or anything like that? Because are there a lot of people who care about the environment, really? I mean, let's face it, most of the people who buy records are like 15 to 34. Yeah. So are you taking a chance to just hit your music with environmental causes?
Yeah, it was definitely a bold choice and definitely not driven by, you know, sales or pure marketing. So it was more of a passion, you know, passion project. But that I've actually seen it's working quite well because people care so much more than we think, actually. And a lot of people that have been following me and listening to my music and watching my videos have been resonating so much with everything I put in the music because I think there are so many, you know, it's the environmental message is quite explicit, but at the same time, there are so many layers in the songs that you can interpret. as you sure. want, as you like. So I feel like that to the, let's say, common music consumer that maybe doesn't look for a deeper message in the lyrics, they can still be, you know, listenable because they are catchy and they are, there's definitely elements of pop and rock too. So it's not something that is completely niche. But at the same time, if you do want to listen to the message and the deeper layers mm-hmm. of it, you can find it.
Right.
So I feel like there's potential to touch different, you know, ages and different groups of people, and it has demonstrated so. So far, I'm very happy with it. And also, I have to say, I'm seeing a movement around me that is growing and growing, because at the beginning, like
right.
4 years ago when I started, I thought I was completely alone with this. But now
right.
there's so much going on, so many organizations and climate concerts and Arts for the Planet. And so finally, I feel like I'm part of a movement.
Well, you are. Your music crosses over because you have that. It is that that pop in your music, but the message is there too. And I love the, I can only say Shakira, the little movement with the hips and the culture that you put into one of your songs. I sound like I'm ignorant. You know what I mean? You did. It's kind of if nobody saw the video,
yeah.
It kind of. What kind of dance is that? I could only say Arabian dance or maybe Middle Eastern dance that you have in one of your videos.
Yeah, absolutely. So the funny thing is that I have no connections with Middle Eastern cultures at all in my family. I'm completely Italian 100%. But for some
wow.
reason, in the early 2000s, I started studying belly dance back in Venice when I was still living there. And I don't know how, but I just felt so at home with those rhythms and with those something in me just woke up, and I simply fell in love with that kind of music since then, and I could never stop dancing it and doing, you know, all kinds of dance workshops, and I eventually became a belly dance teacher even in Barcelona.
Wow.
And parallelly, I kept going with alternative music, so I kept singing
right.
and, you know, being in bands. And so when I came to Los Angeles and I decided to write music about the future of nature, I thought,
uh-huh.
how can I put my passion for alternative and pop music together with my belly dance obsession? And I tried, and I said, okay, I'm going to try to produce music that takes elements of both and goes very, very well with this goddess kind of image, you know, that I wanted to give to the project, mainly to give it a timeless feel, you know. And it worked. It worked very well, and it kind of became a new genre, which is a little bit cross-cultural, you know, because, yeah, it is alternative, and it is catchy, but it also has a little bit of Middle Eastern belly dance elements, which are very good for this kind of goddess imagery, you know, that I felt it really fit this project because we're talking about mm-hmm. such enormous topics, right? It's like the future
right.
of everything. So I thought I need some sort of timeless image that is bigger than Annalisa, right? I needed to be Inanna.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt Annalisa was too small to contain it, right? It needed to be something
right.
bigger.
Oh, wow. You pulled off the goddess thing. You really pulled it off. You really pulled it off. And I love when you went to Inanna. It was my middle name is Randolph, and I was going out with a Romanian woman, and she went to, you know, the world. She toured the world, and I said, I only live in Los Angeles, so I want to sound international. So she says, well, what do you want to do? I go, my middle name is Randolph. I want to be known as Randolfo. She started laughing because I wanted to sound so international. I just wanted to be part of that world. You pulled off the goddess. I have to ask you, and then we're going to play your song if you don't mind. I have to ask you, everything begins with the parents. They shape you. They form you. You learn. you traveled. Tell me just briefly about your parents and which one, because there's always that one prominent parent that influenced you and who you are today. So tell me a little bit about them.
That's a very good question. I actually think it was definitely both, because my mother, well, she's a psychologist. She has worked in school as a psychologist for many, many years. And she has always promoted arts in my house so much. Like, she was always the one buying the guitar and buying the little keyboard, you know, and just singing together. And so art was always present somehow in the house. And we traveled a lot. Like, she made me travel a lot because she had a big passion for it. So we had a little caravan, you know. We started with a very small, cheap one, traveling all around Europe, a little bit hippie style, you know.
Wow.
And it was really great. So she really made me, she gave me the bug, you know, for traveling and always going a little bit farther. And now she has to pay the price because I'm living like 13,000 miles away. But
wow.
I think she's happy that, you know, I'm following my passions and that I found a place that I really love. And my dad, that actually he passed away a few years ago, but my dad was the one with ambition. Like, my dad was the one that always said, yeah, always go farther and further and always believe in your dreams. And, you know, so I feel like on one hand, I got the passion for traveling and arts always present. And on
mm-hmm.
the other side, my dad, yes, go for it and just don't stop. And so, but my dad was an impresario, you know, he was selling Italian wines and beers and things. So it was a very different, very different area.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, you have two supportive family like that. Do you have siblings, or are you the only girl that's in the family?
Only child, actually, yeah.
Oh, okay. And you're very lucky, very spoiled. Look at you. That is nice.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there's always an element. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask who is, and hopefully I pronounce her name right, Ayana? Is it Ayana?
Ayana,
yes.
You mean, uh-huh.
I know that's you, but I mean, is that short for your Annalisa, or?
Oh, you mean Inanna, yes. You mean?
Yes.
Yes, that's Inanna, yeah. It's my artist name. I decided that it
okay.
would be better to have just a shorter, more impactful name. So
okay.
Inanna was chosen a few years ago.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's interesting because
yeah.
I'm going to play, help me out, is it Nefertiti? Is it Nefertiti?
Yes. The first single, yeah, it's actually... We called it Nefertiti 21st because I wanted to be a version for the 21st century.
Because is it okay to play that? Or I was trying to look for the current one you sent me, but and I don't have it, but I have this one. Is that okay to?
Absolutely. Yeah. That was the origin. That was the first single released in 2019.
Oh, this is the birth of Ayana, the artist.
Exactly, the birth of Ayana, yes.
I like that. Well, we're going to listen to that right now, and we're going to get the idea about you. Did you write this song? You want to tell us a little bit about the song before I play it? What were you thinking?
Yes.
Your first song?
Yes.
How? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So I do write all the songs and the melodies and all the composition, and then I have producers that help me fix and mix, you know, the demos, and then I master with someone else. And yeah, I collaborated with Joshua Williams here in Los Angeles. I mean, a little bit on a distance because he was living somewhere else, but we did many, many songs together, and this was the first one we decided to release. And this one is about actually the need for more feminine views in politics and society in general for, like, to embrace a better future for the planet. Like, the relationship with the planet so far has been incredibly masculine, right, with this dominance and exploitation vision. So I was simply trying to say with this song that we need a more nurturing and empathetic view, you know, with how we relate with the natural world. So I was imagining, you know, the rebirth of this, you know, figure of a powerful woman that can rule us and that can take us to the better path.
Wow. Well, you're really deep, and I love this song. We're going to play it right now, The Birth of, I know I'm mispronouncing the name, but it sounds so good, Ayana, the artist. And after that, we're going to go for a little commercial. We're going to come right back, and we're going to finish the interview. You are something else. You are really something else, and that's a good thing. You know, you and I are neighbors.
Thank you.
You and I are neighbors. I mean, you mentioned Pasadena. Oh. Are you still in Pasadena?
Yes, I am.
We are neighbors. Did you know
really?
That? Yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. We could go to the Cheesecake Factory in a minute and have a great lunch. That's how close we are.
All right. Perfect.
So welcome to Pasadena. Welcome to California and the world. Welcome to your music. Here we are. Ayana Nerfa. Is it Nefertiti or Nefertiti?
Nefertiti, 21st.
Yeah, 21st. Here we go. Love that beat. Listen to that, baby.
This is the age of real illusion, the irrational and mysterious are promises of sin. Trends begin by life, beautiful woman has come. Breaking through the veil.
It makes me want to stop. It makes me want to stop littering and take care of the earth. And Mother Nature is a good thing. Wow, that is amazing. And you know what? We're here with the great Annalisa Docker. That was her song. I want to ask you, I got a couple more questions before she goes. But first, we got to go
thank
to one quick
you.
Commercial.
Thank you so much.
You're so – we're almost done. I promise I'll let you go, but we have one little commercial to do, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
More than any neon sign or exploding scoreboard ever could, your chrome dome cover says, hey guys, look at me.
What could you be thinking?
You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look phonier if it had a chin strap.
I look at you.
Made of space-age fibers, it can repel anything. Rain, wind, snow, and especially young women.
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice cold Budweiser, Mr. Stud in a Rug. Then crack open another for that thing on your head.
I don't think it's
great. Yeah, welcome back. We have the great Annalisa Dunker. We really do. She's right here. Trust me, she is. I'm not lying. And you're listening to Brian today. Randolfo Hammer, the international broadcaster. See, yeah, no. oh, my God. And we have 310. Why do I think you know that person? What I'm going to do is open that mic, but I'm also going to say, well, how do you think film and a music form of art can help the environmental causes, and what other projects are you working on? And those are the two things I want to ask you. So why do you think the film and music and art form can help the environmental causes?
Well, you know, I decided to embark this endeavor, you know, of environmental music because I deeply believe in the power of the arts when it comes to change culture. And so when they ask me, what are you doing? I say, I'm an artivist, you know, instead of an activist, I say I'm an artivist.
That's cute.
You know, music, especially music, I mean, all arts, absolutely. They have such a power to speak to very deeply to very deep layers of ourselves, you know, and especially music, it has this power of bringing a lot of people together, singing to the same song, to the same anthem, like moving
right.
to the same song. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes it makes you elaborate things in your head, even unconsciously, like things that you don't even understand why, but somehow they click something in you. They really have this enormous power to touch deeper parts of us. And I've always thought, you know, arts and artists and troubadours have always spoken about things of society before they changed, before they happened. You know, the artist, the poet always has the courage to say things before sometimes, you know. So I've always wanted to be part of that kind of movement. And yeah, and I do believe that if we are to change culture, like the way we consume, the way we eat, the way we move, the way we see the rest of the natural world, you know, we have to change it from culture itself, too. So that's why music and film and poetry and visual arts are super important in these times. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, you know, I would hate to be your neighbor because I'll tell you why. You're earth conscious and you seem like a nice person. I am not. So let's say I'm walking my dog in front of you in the morning. I'm walking along going, okay. And then my dog poos. And I go, look at that big
yeah.
poo dog. And then I said, let's leave it for the earth. Mother Nature will love it. And I don't pick it up. Or I'm eating a cheesecake and I go, there's no trash. I'm looking around. You seem like a nice person. You're not going to tell me. I throw it over the bushes. Now I'm doing it. So my dog poos. I'm throwing trash all over the place. You're in back of me. What do you do? Do you let me do it, or do you have to say something to me?
Well, you know, I feel there's so much systemic change that has to happen. I mean,
right.
Of course, it's also about our little actions. I mean, everything can help. I mean, you consuming in a certain way or being more mindful of what you buy or how much plastic you buy or what you eat or you know, the change that has to happen is so much deeper, because as long as we have such easy access to those products and those, it's going to be very difficult. So there's both levels. I mean, it's the things that we can do ourselves every day and an enormous cultural shift that has to happen at very high levels too. So, you know, but definitely the little things can help too.
It could help. I mean, and then what happened? I'm almost done, but then I don't make it home, and you see me wee-wee in your neighbor's bushes. Do you say anything? I'm destroying the planet and also his bushes. Do you continue walking on?
Well, that's very biodegradable, so.
Very good.
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, then you can like it or not, but it's definitely natural.
So I'm helping the planet. Leave me alone, lady. I'm helping the planet. And move along. That is pretty good. What other
projects
are you working on?
It's actually a good fertilizer. So
is it really?
Fertilizer.
Oh, then you're gonna see what then hang around. You're going to see me fertilize the whole lawn in about 10 minutes. I'm doing great for the planet. I would be the worst neighbor. You would hate me. You would really hate me. So what other projects are you working on right now, Anna Lisa?
Yes.
I would like to know.
Yes. So we have new songs coming up. I've been working with the London record label, and so we're working now on a new release, hopefully releasing it for Earth Day, and a new music video. And then I actually have just opened my new production company with my husband, which is called Better Earth Productions, which was a spin-off from our nonprofit that was called Better Earth Media that I co-founded with Jane Elizabeth, a colleague of mine, 2 years ago. And we've been doing, you know, events in town, mostly educational events with live panels, everything on.
Nice.
Dedicated to amplifying voices in the environmental media space. So we've had a lot of nice guests, you know, and now Better Earth Production is going to be more focused on actual production, so our own things, and it will definitely include all the Inanna productions, so Inanna finally has a home, but we'll hopefully transition also to more, you know, documentaries and other things, always environment-related. But yeah, so it's very exciting. It was a new, good step.
Wow. I look forward to hearing more stuff from you, from Robin, and also I'm gonna try to keep, you know, tabs on what you're doing, because I think you're going to break through you're going to hit this mark that I think you want to, and you'll make a difference. You really will. Your music is great. I have a 310 holding. Why do I think that belongs to you? Why do I think, or as a fan? Should
I
have security?
I don't know. Maybe Bob.
All right. I might have to get security in here. We have to protect our artists. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. 1 second. 310, with a careful eye, you're live on the air with Annalisa.
Hi, this is Bob Rivenbark. I've known Annalisa for, when was it we met, 2017? Whoa,
hi,
that's
Bob.
7 years ago.
Great to hear from you. Hi.
Great to hear from you again, too.
My question, Bob, is are you abiding by the restraining order? I'm just curious.
Am I what?
Are you obeying the restraining order? I'm just curious. I'm joking, Bob. I'm joking. Bob.
I don't know, man. That's way above my pay grade, so I'll let you answer that question.
I'm just joking, Bob. I heard good things about you. I was just joking. So you've known her for a long period of time. I know you're on hold. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get her message out. If you had to mention three good things about her, just only three, that would describe her whole personality, who she is, what would they be, Bob?
I would say angelic, compassionate, and incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much.
I would agree. Wow. And Bob, if you had to name three things about me, no, you don't know me that well. I mean, now that you're giving good compliments out, I thought I could get some. So Bob, you're in Los Angeles. I know I'm looking at your area code. So did you also leave from Spain or Italy, or were you always here and you just went to one of her concerts, or how did you meet her?
Well, I lived in the L.A. area for 8.5 years. And I met her at a producer's party. It was a holiday party in a December. And the minute I set eyes on it, there were probably 600 people there, and they were all,
right,
you know, very, you know, Hollywood-type people, real
right,
slicksters. And I spotted her, and I had a completely opposite reaction. I had an intuition on the moment,
right,
that this is not your average Hollywood lady here. Something different is going,
right,
on here, and it just drew,
yeah,
me to her, and we started talking and hit it off right away. And then I met her husband, and Anders, and we got,
mm-hmm,
to be such good friends. We were both,
right,
Artists United, a nonprofit that promotes,
oh, okay,
artists worldwide. And so they went back to Barcelona, and they were connected, I believe, to BAFTA at that point, and there was an LA chapter of BAFTA, which is the British Film Institute that's comparable to the Oscars in America. And
it was the Rain Dance, yeah.
Rain Dance, that's right. I knew it was something similar to BAFTA. But I went to visit them and was in Barcelona for 10 days. And I did,
wow,
a presentation on Artists United. We had our founder, Holly Million, Zoom in. We got,
mm-hmm,
a large group of people there. And I just fell in love with Barcelona, and I discovered the architecture Sagrada Familia and Antoni Gaudi's wonderful architecture all throughout the city, and it became a huge influence on a novel which I subsequently wrote and published. So Annalisa,
oh,
and I,
okay,
have been very good friends for 7 years now, and I've always been,
wow,
very supportive of what she's doing.
I'm impressed by you too, in the arts and an author and things like that, and you sound like a nice guy. Now, you said nice things about Annalisa, and I agree with you. We know she's married, but between me and you, tell me one thing that annoys you about her husband. What's that one thing that annoys you about her husband? We can talk. You can talk.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry. I don't.
Oh, you are?
I can't think of it. Yeah, I can't think of a single thing that annoys me about Anders. The
well
guy is,
said,
is
Bob.
A prince. He's a prince.
I know. Okay. Well said, Bob. It's nice to meet you. You know, Annalisa, this is our interview. Before we leave, is there anything that you would like to say before we leave that I didn't touch on, or you'd like to get the message across? Because you have been a delight to come into the studio, the Annalisa Dunker. I can't pronounce your middle name. Giolo? Is it Giolo?
That's the Italian part of it. Yes, that's Giolo. It's very Italian.
Oh, I love it, Dunker. So if there's anything that we haven't touched upon and you want to say really quickly, you have the floor. There you go.
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to thank you so much, because this was such a lovely interview. So I want to thank you, Brian, and Robin, that made me discover this wonderful radio program. So thank you. And thank you, Robert, for coming in. I didn't know you were coming. It was such a great surprise, because we hadn't talked in a while, so that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then,
well, Robin,
of course,
me know, and I wasn't going to miss out on this for anything.
That's lovely. And then, obviously, if you want to find me, just go to inannaforearth.com. There's also a little book out called Acrotopia, which is a collection of all my lyrics for the planet and for the animal kingdom. And just find me on Instagram, inannaforearth.
Wow. And it was a pleasure meeting Bob, too. And Bob, you're a great guy. You got a great sense of humor. Thank you for playing along with us and coming in the studio, too. Robin, before we go, do you want to say a quick thing about your great friend? And guess what? She is great. She was great.
She is great. I knew this would be a really good match. I really did. I just love her to death. She's always been kind, sweet, I mean, incredibly talented. I mean, Bob said it. Angelic, talented, and extremely beautiful.
And Robin, don't you like Bob?
Kind of person. Of course.
Don't you like Bob?
I
like
death.
Bob. I know. I like Bob. He's like a nice guy. And I hope Bob comes back. We'll talk about his book. We're going to tease him a little bit because I would like to know a little bit about his, you know,
yeah,
he seemed like a nice
we're
guy.
Talking about that. We're talking about that.
I know.
I'll be glad to do that, but let's get me unblocked because I tried to sign in this morning and it said that my email was blocked.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
See, there's so many people who want to hurt me, Bob. I'm sorry.
Being
a radio host.
Needed.
Yeah, being a radio host, people don't
I
really
hear you,
like
buddy.
Me. They listen
you
to
don't
me.
Have to explain. I understand.
Yeah, you don't have to explain at all. If you listen to the show, you'll wonder why they want to hurt me. But I'll unblock you, Bob, for all means. I want to
thank you
for coming in. And I can't say enough about you, Annalisa. Thank you so much. Don't forget to friend her on are you on TikTok too? I think you said TikTok. I'm not quite sure. But
I'm on TikTok too, but I use Instagram much more. So yeah, that's just at Inanna for Earth.
There you go. Support Annalisa. And I want to thank you guys so much for coming in. I hope this is not the last time. I enjoyed this interview, and we will see you a little bit later. We're going to go for a little break right now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about issues. I'm going to tell you something that really – okay, close your ears, Annalisa, because you think I'm a nice guy. I don't want you to hear any bad things, but I have to do this show, so shh, close your ears. Look away. Look away. There's a thing that happened in California. You're not going to believe this, and I need to talk about it. It's AI. I knew AI was bad, but I didn't know how bad it was. So some kids in Beverly Hills, I think you saw the news, what they did to their friends with this AI program is going to blow you away. It is awful. And it just opened up a new portal about, and I'm going to tease it, child molesters. I looked at this news story and I go, oh, my God. I didn't even think about it. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the story. It's going to blow you away. But let's save the planet, pick up your garbage, and please don't wee-wee down the street. And remember, think of Annalisa, who's trying to save this planet. All right, guys. We'll be right back. Thank you, you guys. Be safe out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Annalisa, and Bob, everybody. And we'll be right back. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Talk to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feels like December when somebody say your name. Cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright, gon' raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that Cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories. And the memories bring back memories. Bring back your memories. Bring back memories. Bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost. And I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. Now my heart feels like an ember and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for ya, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday. Yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. The glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got, oh. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today.
Oh, I love this
toast
song.
To
welcome to the show again. I am
cause
Ryan.
The bring back all the memories,
Randolph.
And the memories
Hammer.
Bring back memories. Bring
and
back
we just had the beautiful, great Annalisa in the studio today with Bob. Bob, Annalisa, welcome to the show. We have our morning crew here, and it was an interesting interview. This is where we reflect. It was really an interesting interview, and I'll tell you why. First of all, she's very pretty. She's very pretty, but I am a professional. I look past the beauty. That's what I do. I look past the beauty, and I look at the art. And then the art was good. I said, the art was good. The pretty was there. I think, I'm going to say she's not only a well-rounded person, but you can feel it in her heart. Her music is so good, and it will touch you. But she gives you pause to say, you know what, there's a lot of things that are more important in life than yourself. And, you know, recycle earth. I was never really one of those people, but it gives you pause. I mean, if I don't do it, who will? I will now maybe throw my stuff in the trash can, you know, walk that extra 2 feet, you know what I mean? And give you pause. I'm going to open up the mics right now. And 905, hello, Patty. And, of course, Pat. And I'm thinking... Robin is still here. Am I correct, Robin?
I'm still here. Hello, Patty. I'm still here.
You know, I didn't know Annalisa might have been spiritual. Why do I think she's spiritual, too? Because Pat's here, and I wonder if she would like to have a reading. What do you think, Robin? You think she would like to have a spiritual psychic reading? Would she go for something like that?
I don't know. That would be something you'd have to ask her.
Yeah, I didn't want to hold her. I know
we
she's busy.
We can do it another day, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. We could. I just felt so positive with her, you know. Thank you again.
She told me she loved it. She had a great time.
Oh, she's a sweetheart. She is a sweetheart. Next time she comes, we're going to do a reading. We're going to have to see the future of her. I know it's bright. You know what pissed me off? I'm going to tell you what pissed me off. So it's hard to get every day to get up and do a subject, but once in a while, something pisses me off. And anything that you do is good. You know, I feel sorry for the inventors. It's like the guy who I feel sorry for is John. And you go, who's John? The toilet guy, the crapper guy.
Oh.
Now, the crapper guy invented the toilet. Right, he goes, oh, look at this, really nice, and then he goes, this is a beautiful thing. It's porcelain, it has porcelain and everything, and design, and I have a little chain, and this beautiful thing. And what do we do with it? We crap in it. It's like what?
Well, that was kind of the whole purpose of it.
I kind of know, but it's like, maybe we could just put it in a museum on a wall somewhere. But I understand. I do understand. But so you invent something that's really nice, the light bulb, right? Oh, we can invent it, right? We see in the house, we invent the house, the bathroom instead of the outhouse. Whoever, the inventors I love. But whatever you invent, anything that you invent, there's somebody out there that will use it for evil. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of anything that people have not used, that we have invented or came into our life, even technology that was supposed to move us forward, that there's always somebody out there using it for evil. Why is that?
That's true. Even the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
They distort the words and turn it around. Yeah. I mean, even
right.
Even things that were, yes, it's unreal.
It's just unbelievable.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's human beings. We just think human beings are naturally destructive. I mean, I don't want to give up on the human race. I don't. There's good in it. But do we have enough people that there is? There is.
Mm-hmm.
And is it my imagination or just recently we became more impatient, more rude, more... And I want to blame it on a pandemic, but it cannot just be the pandemic. Is it just me, or am I seeing a change in people that they're just rude? You ever went to a customer service place? I went to a customer service one time. Me and my girlfriend went to a customer service thing. We want to return something. We waited there, and I looked around. I'm not kidding you. There were three people in the store. We're at the customer service counter. The other two people were in the back, and there was a lady who worked behind the counter, way to the other side. And she sees us, and she goes, "I'll be right with you." I'm looking around going, "Well, what is she doing? It's only us here." And my girlfriend, "Shh, don't make a scene. You know how you are." You make a scene.
That's what my sister
to me. Exactly. And now we make a scene because we're arguing at each other. You get this.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes to us and says, "Can I help you?" With a bad attitude. I'm going, "Oh, attitude." And, okay, we'd like to return this. What's wrong with it? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, you have to fill out this form, and it'll be 2 weeks before you get your money. Well, you're right there, and there's a cash register. That's policy, sir. I go, "Wow, don't snap at me, lady." You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with you guys? Whatever happened to customer service?
Exactly.
Wow. I mean, my God. Even a greeter at Walmart, I could get a guy in a headlock and kick his ass out the store. I'm going, "This is a rough time. Look at this rough." The
mm-hmm.
greeter at Walmart got the guy in a headlock and kicked his butt. This is a rough neighborhood. I'm not coming here. And he was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings me to the AI. I don't know if you saw this story, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's still here. Hey, look, Bob. Hey, Bob. Good to see you.
I hung around because this is a vital interest of mine. AI is a major theme in my novel, and I'm also reading The Coming Wave by Mostafa Suleiman, the co-founder of DeepMind, the first AI company, and he's describing what the world's going to look like fully automated in 2034. So please continue.
Thank you, sir. Wow, it's very interesting. So AI, everybody's afraid of AI. People are always afraid of what they don't know, right? We always fear it, and we hate it when we don't know, right? And I don't know what it is. We don't have that, "Oh, my God, it's exciting." No, it's going to destroy art. It's going to replace this, and it's going to rule the world, and it's going to be the Terminator. I mean, we already have that in our head about AI. We have that about AI because we don't know enough about AI. And you know why we're afraid of AI? Because AI have no rules. There's no limitations on AI. There's no guidelines yet. We have not controlled AI because we're afraid AI is going to control us. We are. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So this is supposed to be good. So what happened with these kids in Beverly Hills? They're middle grade kids. And I don't know how they did it, but it was an AI program that I guess they took a picture. I'll bring up the story. I was trying to bring up the story, and I don't have it with me, but I'm hoping you guys heard about it. So these kids took pictures of their classmates. Boys took picture of girls.
Mm-hmm.
They used the AI program to show the kids naked.
Oh.
Nude. Yes, they did.
Oh,
yes,
no.
they did. And I'm going, whoa, I didn't even think about that. I'm going, now I'm thinking instead of AI, it's a good thing moving us forward. Now I started thinking, oh, my God, did we open up a portal full of perverts and child molesters? And now I'm looking at AI as, oh, man, do we really need this? Are we ready for this? Now, these people and these little kids, and I say little kids, where they're middle grade in school in Beverly Hills, they were traumatized of this. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, I don't understand this, because I know on Facebook I'll see somebody post, look at you 20 years from now, or this is you when you were a little kid, and they would see some program. You know, I would see that. It would look cute. How did that happen? I mean, how did that happen? How can – and if somebody took a picture of me and then they put me as naked or whatever, why would I freak out? That's not me. Why would these kids freak out? And are we venturing into a new crime here? I mean, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they called the police, the Beverly Hills police, and I'm thinking, what are they going to do? It's not like they saw the kids naked. It's a program. It's a computer program. What crime is that? And now we're going to get into an area of you're invading my privacy. Now we're going to get in the area of that's my copywritten likeness if you're an artist. What the hell? And I just started thinking, what the hell just happened? Artificial intelligence is a new world, and we can't control it. Just a second. 207, Melissa, welcome to the show, sweetheart. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good. Good morning.
How
did you hear the story? Hi.
How are you?
Did you hear the story? About the kids in Beverly Hills using the AI program and calling other kids naked, seeing other kids naked.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, it's a California story. Am I the only one?
Sounds like something you might do.
Oh, thank you. Here it is, right here. Let me. It was on Channel 7. Here it is. Here's the title. Investigation underway after Beverly Hills students share AI-generated nudes of classmates. But they're not them. They're not them. So I'm just trying to understand this.
You'll be there for a while.
I'm going to – hold on 1 second. Okay, let me see here. I don't understand. I'm glad Bob's here because I may go to Bob in about a couple of seconds because I do want to understand what the hell is going on. Here's what it says. Authorities are investigating after students. Well, let's listen to Sid Garcia. He's a good guy. I like him. Listen to what he has to say about this.
Okay.
The middle school reportedly created and shared nude AI-generated images of other students.
Eyewitness News reporter Sid Garcia is live at the school in Beverly Hills with more details. Sid.
Beverly Vista Middle School, district officials are telling us that this came to light in the middle of last week, and this morning they're telling us they are still looking into it, looking into what happened. Now, according to the district, Beverly Vista Middle School administration received reports about the creation and dissemination by students of artificial intelligence-generated images that were superimposed the faces of students onto AI-generated nude bodies. The statement goes on to say that as the investigation continues, more victims are being identified. The district and school describe what they found out as an appalling misuse of artificial intelligence. The superintendent for the Beverly Hills Unified School District this morning talked about how legislation isn't really keeping up with how fast this technology is developing. He also talked about how parents need to keep even stronger tabs on what kids are doing on their devices. Here's what he had to say.
So we really do ask that parents stay involved, look at phones, and be really aware of what's happening. It really comes down to knowing the difference between right and wrong. And there is unfortunately now going to be some accountability for some students that made
Okay. All right. I'm on the fence here. I want to tell this guy, this principal, shut up. Knowing the difference between right and wrong. These are kids. Kids do mischievous things. When can we just let kids do be kids anymore. You know, I used to climb a tree and throw a coconut down at people. Oh, not a coconut. What am I thinking about? An acorn at somebody as they walk down and laugh at it. And they used to say, all right, Brian, I know where you live. Ah. When can kids be kids? We're in a technology world. Is there a crime here? What kind of crime is it? It's not like we saw their bodies. It's not like they just superimpose their face on a naked body in an AI. Is there a crime? What happened? I'd like to go to Bob because I don't understand this, Bob. First of all, I'd like to know, you heard the story. Bob, is there a crime here at all?
Well, that's a tough one. It's a matter of how we interpret privacy, how we interpret constitutional rights guaranteed for self-expression. Are those rights violated here? I don't have an answer to that. I do have an opinion about AI generally speaking, which I'd love to share, and that is that, you know, there's a famous theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr, who said that with every major breakthrough in technology, there's a concomitant potential for evil. He was talking about the Nazi regime and the propaganda that Joseph Goebbels used to, you know, generate hatred for Jews and justify the Holocaust. But certainly, this technology is new. It has no guardrails, as you correctly pointed out. And I think we have to understand that the way humanity uses AI can be used for enormous good, or it can be used for enormous evil. And in some cases, it could just be used for mischief. Maybe this is a case of middle school mischief. I mean, you know, we did, when I was in middle school, we passed around Lady Chatterley's Lover. You know, that was the naughty thing that we did. So this may fall into that category, but I do think this points up the fact that we've got a lot of ground to cover with AI and what it means for us in the culture.
You're absolutely right. And that goes, and Bob, let me ask you, do you have any kids? I don't have any children. Do you have any children?
I don't, no.
But you are right about kids being kids and being, you know, whether you're throwing a firecracker into the toilet and screwing up the plumbing, which I denied, but it happened. just doing mischievous things. I don't see harm here. What's really interesting, and Bob and the rest of the and Melissa and I got eight other people in there and Pat and wonderful Robin and what. What's interesting is when I was listening to the TV, they had a guy, a little boy was talking, middle school boy, and he didn't want to be seen on camera. So they were showing a camera at his feet, and he's going, well, and he was talking about this. I'm going, are you kidding me? In Beverly Hills, you don't want to be seen on camera talking about an AI-generated kind of thing? What is going on with our children? What is going on? I just don't want to be on camera. I just don't want to be a snitch or tell this story. I don't know. I shake my head at this planet. I tell people, Bob, I'll tell you my background. I'm not from this world. I'm a UFO. Parents came here in a spaceship. I went to the bathroom. So my spotted ship went back home. I'm here to report on you humans because you humans are really funny creatures. So it's like, it's one of those things that you shake your head and going, what the hell is going on, and can't kids be kids anymore? Why are we calling the cops on an AI generated thing? And then your teacher is telling, well, you should look at your kids' devices. Don't forget to spy on your kids. Take that phone away. Monitor your kids. What are we, the SS? What are we, the SS thing in Germany? What is going on? Loosen up, dude. Loosen up. I don't understand. I'm going to put this in my report. We're not going to invade Earth. You guys are going to destroy yourself. So I'm going to say, hey, guys, we're fine. We're fine. 316, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, 316.
Hey, good afternoon, Brian. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how you doing, King?
I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Did you hear that beautiful music from Annalisa? I'm going to play it again.
No, I'm just getting on, but I would definitely love to hear it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be playing it. She is really a wonderful artist. King's also an artist, my good rapper, and he's one of the best friends. He's my brother. We're just talking about AI.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm a little afraid of AI now. I mean, I was not thinking the other possibilities, and like you were just saying, that how people can use good and evil, and sometimes evil is more prevalent to good. I have a friend who works at a bank, and they were telling me about all the fraud and all this kind of stuff that they do at the bank, trying to get people scammed, but they can't keep up with enough of them. I mean, when they shut down one scam, another scam pops up. They just can't keep up with it. And I'm thinking, my God, with this AI and the likeness of me, and pretty soon you see me robbing a bank. Oh, there goes Brian. And I'm watching myself rob. What am I doing? Oh, I'm robbing a bank. Ah, take the watches, Brian. Get away. I'm rooting for me. Next thing I know, here, sir, huh? Come with us. What? Can you identify the guy who robbed the bank? And I was kind of look like me. I'm doing years behind prison. An AI thing. Framing people on AI. My God, Bob, can you help us with our fears and say, it's going to be okay? But you don't have to say it in that voice because it'll be creepy. You can say it in your voice. Let's tell us.
Well, I think that everybody has a right to be afraid of AI because of the examples you just gave. It's a stupendous creation. As I mentioned earlier, I'm reading The Coming Wave by Mustafa Suleiman, the co-founder of DeepMind, the world's first AI company. He also worked for Google. He founded a second AI company. And he's painting a picture in that book, The Coming Wave, what the world's going to look like in 2034 when we have a totally automated society run by AI. It's coming. There's nothing we can do to stop it. We're going to have to adjust. Now, what I think needs to happen, again, going back to Reinhold Niebuhr's famous quote saying, you know, with every major breakthrough in technology, there's a concomitant potential for evil. What we need to do right now is put guardrails on AI so that each AI platform has built into it limitations on what it can do, like guardrails, you know, to give an extreme example, like make sure that the AI platform doesn't have the capability to decide, you know, these human beings that created me and other AI platforms, they're really horrible, irrational animals, so let's just obliterate them. So we obviously don't want that. The gentleman that wrote The Coming Wave says is we're going to reach an intermediate level. We're not going to get to the level of super intelligence by 2034. We will see a lot of AI applications implemented, and there's a lot of good that's going to come out of that. For example, he says we'll have 100% safe self-driving cars on automated highways that can detect pedestrians and oncoming cars and prevent collisions. We'll have totally automated hospitals. We'll be able to do remote surgeries using remote controlled equipment, so that say a neurologist, a brain surgeon in London could perform brain surgery remotely to a patient in rural Ecuador. That kind of thing. We'll be able to predict weather patterns much more accurately so that we can guard against the adverse effects of global warming. That's all to the good. There will also be breakthroughs in being able to directly participate in competitive sports live. Like you'll be actually on the field in the game participating. You'll be able to call up stats on your favorite players, compare notes with other fans. So there's a lot of good coming. The downside is, like you mentioned a moment ago, the potential for fraud And we've already seen some of that in the current presidential campaign where, you know, they put out, you know, social media videos showing politicians saying and doing things that they never did in real life. So the potential for fraud, the potential for scams, and, you know, the potential for evil is there. We're not going to simply erase human nature. Like, you know, like in 2034, we'll be in utopia and all human beings will be kind, compassionate, caring, far-seeing. That's not going to happen. There's still going to be ghoulers who do mischievous things, and there are also going to be evil people like Vladimir Putin who are going to try to use AI to increase their own power and harm other people. So we just need to be on guard here and be, yes, we need to be cautious about it, even afraid of it, but we can't run away from it. It would be like trying to run away from the light bulb after Thomas Edison or the Model T Ford after Henry Ford started mass producing cars for people. We can't run away from this. It's a major crossroads and breakthrough that is going to speed up a human evolution. What took millions or hundreds of millions of years to produce us in evolution can suddenly be advanced by light years, and we'll be able to program DNA and create future generations of human beings which have exactly the kinds of traits that we desire. So the question becomes, will we become like God, or will God destroy us for having the hubris to dare to invent this incredible technology that can do very godlike things, or will we be wise and evolve to a race which is wiser and more compassionate and moves humanity forward towards what my favorite thinker, Teilhard de Chardin, called the omega point. So that's my two cents.
But I'm listening to you, and I agree. But what scares me is that we're already removing the human element in our who we are. And let me explain what I mean. The pandemic did it. We didn't have any social touches. We couldn't shake hands. We couldn't hug. We had to stand 6 feet apart from each other because we were afraid that each other was going to kill us. You know, like, we couldn't go to grandma's funeral because of a lot of stuff. You mentioned the master race. What happens? Some guy gets a hold of AI, and Hitler finally got his creation at the master race, that we can create this race that won't get cancer, or this race that won't get anything, rob a bank, or the negative things that happens in the human spirit or human world. We'll get rid of that, and we'll just give it the good part, and we get rid of the bad. The human being needs that bad. He needs that good. Are we going to take away the human element of a human being because we already got smart TV, smart phones, and we're lazy? We became a lazy race. Deep fakes. Next thing you know, we've got minutes of deep fake pictures that you think is Tom Cruise, but it's not Tom Cruise, and they're walking among us. I mean, my God, can you imagine what somebody can do with a deep fake? I don't know, Bob. I'm thinking maybe if we go too far, we're going to lose the human element of human beings or who we are, because we are imperfect, and maybe that makes us perfect, that we are kind of strange, and that maybe that's a quality that attracts us to another person. What do you think, Bob, that question? Are we afraid we're going to lose that human being out of the human and become mechanical and safe? Because that's where we're going. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a good place.
Well, you're asking one of the great questions, of course, that philosophers and theologians and prophets, mm-hmm. Great thinkers have asked for thousands of years. Here's my answer. Personally, I don't think we're going to reach that ultimate dystopian point because, you know, my favorite author is Dostoevsky. I think he's the greatest writer that ever lived, and he wrote a little book called Notes from the Underground. after
right.
he had plotting against the Tsar, and he was sent to Siberia for 10 years, and he went through a little bit of an internal change when he got back to St. Petersburg and started writing. He wrote five of the greatest novels that have ever been written, and then he makes a point in Notes from the Underground, which was a reaction against, there was a Russian intellectual, Chernyshevsky, who was gushing about the world's first world's fair in London called the Crystal Palace. And he was predicting, oh, well, within 50 years, we'll be in utopia, we'll have no private property, we'll be in a socialist paradise. And Dostoevsky wrote Notes from the Underground to argue against that, to say, you know what, no matter what kind of utopia or more likely dystopia humanity creates, somebody is always going to say no to it, because that is how the human spirit is constituted. So whatever is attempted with AI, whatever abuses happen, there are always going to be people out there that say no to that. So my answer to your question is no, we're not going to use our lose our humanity, because we cannot lose our spirit. Our spirit is something that transcends our brains and our limited planetary presence. And we've always got that, no matter how abusive or how horrifying the dystopias are that we create. And all you have to do is think about Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, and, you know, some of the current regimes that are attempting to do something like that. For example, the 24/7 surveillance society that exists in China now, you know, where you're under surveillance 24/7. I think we're going to get through it. And I guess that makes me ultimately an optimist, but I'm also fully awake to all of the dangers that you've articulated. And I know that we could have serious setbacks if we let this new technology enslave us. So I think we have to say no to the ultimate abuses, and we can't just stick our heads in the sand and pretend it's not coming. It is coming.
Right. But who's going to control it? Who's in charge of controlling it? I mean, my God. We're going to trust the government, and we're going to build a different AI institute for, like, the FBI. That's what they'll probably use it against, or terrorist tactic. I mean, it goes back to World War II when they were taking when we took some of the German scientists, and Russia took some of the German scientists, and we created chemical warfare. It goes on and on and on. Who's going to control this? And maybe that one scientist that will become God. The one who's going to do that program. We have kids coding now. We have kids coding in third grade. This is how our world is moving now, isn't it? And but who will be God? And will the Father and God? I don't know if God will intervene. God's going to say, you know what? I had it with you guys. I'm just going to make another world over here. You guys destroy this one. No, don't bother me. Don't even bother praying to me. Look what you did. You didn't even take care of this one. I got new people. They love me. Go ahead.
Everything you just said, those are all very popular themes in speculative fiction and science fiction and fantasy fiction. And any one of a number of those could actually come to pass. But I'll just give you an example of what might be a potential solution. Remember what happened after 9/11. We formed the NSA, and the NSA is tasked with preventing another 9/11. I think we're going to have to do something similar through the U.S. government to put guardrails on AI. And I don't know what it will be called, but it's got to be something that's got teeth, regulatory powers. It's got to be equivalent to the NSA and Homeland Security. And it's got to have very smart, savvy people who know AI, who themselves have been AI developers, to guard against all the horrific things that you've just articulated. And I used to do marketing for RSA Security. You know, they are probably the number one internet security firm on earth. And they actually hire hackers, people that have been convicted of federal hacking crimes, who get out
right.
of prison and go to work for RSA in order to create safeguards against all, you know, identity theft and all the other things that can happen, you know, on the dark web. So we're going to have something similar to that to guard against the very real dangers of AI. What that is going to look like is above my pay grade. It's going to take some savvy politicians who have, you know, the right values to work out what this is going to look like, but it's going to have to be there. That's my opinion.
Well, I'll end it with this. I think you know this gentleman. Is it Jeffrey Hinton, or am I pronouncing his name right? Mr. Hinton. He's a British scientist, Canadian-British scientist, who they call the godfather of AI. This guy, he worked for Google for a while. He's even worried. They did a thing in 60 Minutes. He's worried, like, well, we don't have any guardrails. And he worked for Google. He left Google because he had concerns what Google was doing with artificial intelligence. He left them.
Hey,
this man. Yes, John? Yes, John? I didn't know.
Yeah, he was just talking.
Oh, but this guy is called the godfather of AI. So he and we're just saying, you know, I'm going to go with you, Bob. I can, because we could talk back and forth all day, and you're absolutely right. There, nothing is perfect. It could cure people with cancer. I'm convinced AI could. It could do wonderful things to society, move us forward. I understand. You know, I understand. And maybe we could welcome it. But we're going to have to understand that there's going to be mischief. There's going to be people who get a hold of it, and there's going to be mischief. It looks like there's mischief now. And we cannot panic when somebody uses it for the wrong thing. We just have to be on it to say, all right, now we know the guidelines. You are going to jail. Okay, everybody, let's not go here. Let's continue. But that's how we work. That's how life works and human beings work, right, Bob? Is that we live and we learn, and then we improve, and then we put guidelines on the way as perfecting it. Is it true?
Yeah, I think it is true. I mean, this is we human beings live in a consensual reality. Together,
right.
We are creating culture. We are creating civilization. We are evolving as a race, as a planet, and as a universe. So I think that we can make a choice not to despair, not to hide
right.
our, stick our heads in the sand, not to give up on the human enterprise, but just, you know, continue with eyes wide awake, realizing that we're at a major crossroads in history. There are some clear and present dangers about AI, and we've got to be smart about how to regulate
yeah.
it so we don't end up in the world of the Terminator.
We're going to, though, Bob. We are going to. I'm sorry. That's a bad – that's my inside voice. My inside voice is kind of like a doom guy, kind of cynical guy. I'm trying to work on it. Medication will keep him under control. I'm trying to work on that guy. But it is unbelievable where we're going, and it should be exciting where we're going. You know, we've already been there in China. Did you know that they have brothels that have nothing but dolls in there? No human beings. They're AI dolls. They're brothels that you go in there, and you can have your way with a doll. And it exists. Starbucks with your coffee. AI is already with us, everybody. Don't think it's just coming. Part of it is already here. It's already here. So, and you don't even know it. And I'm not really a human. I'm doing this interview remotely. I'm on my other planet right now, and I'm doing great. Pat, Bob is here. Does anybody here have any questions regarding AI? Because I'm thinking AI is going to destroy the music industry. AI is going to destroy the film industry, and there's going to be so many lawsuits. There's going to be so many deep fakes. There's going to be so many ripoffs. And what about concerts? I just said it. Bob, I want to ask you a question because I just said it. You know, there's some groups that I wanted to see, you know, Michael Jackson, Prince, whatever. I can't the Beatles when they're young. Rolling Stones when they're young before they became 110 years old. But if they did an AI of their best concerts.
This year.
I would like to see this. Oh, Robin, you're 30. You want to see the Stones? Oh my God.
I'm nearly 40. I'm 39, but yeah, I saw the Stones when I was 30.
Wow. Well, the question
is... And I'm going to see him again in Cleveland in June.
Wow, look at that. You rock. Well, the question is, let's say, God forbid, Mick got sick. You know, he couldn't go on stage because he muddied his diaper, and it was a really horrific muddy. So Mick couldn't go on. They canceled this. Mick came back, and maybe he has a flu. He needs to be nursed. He canceled the concert. You know, we can do it with Phil Collins because it happened to Phil Collins. But they had an AI concert, the best concert in their early years. And they're on stage. You can see them on stage. You can hear them at their prime. Would you buy a ticket for it? Would you go see the Stones AI?
Oh, yeah.
I would, too. I mean, because I'm thinking I would never get to see Michael Jackson. I always wanted to see some of the groups, Phil Collins, go on and so forth. And some of the people, John Lennon. Mm-hmm. I would love to see John Lennon.
Yeah.
Or the Beatles in concert, or Sgt. Pepper tour. And then they said, well, John's gone. Mm-hmm. I go, I know, but we got AI-generated John. We got AI-generated John, and we got the group back together again. This is when they did the Sgt. Pepper tour, and they're touring. What, Bob, would you buy a ticket to that? You can see the Beatles at their prime at the Sgt. Pepper area, aura. That's AI.
I really can't answer that. It would depend on the state of mind I was in at the moment.
Wow.
I might.
Be the only entertainment available.
Wow. Well, I can help you with the state of
mind. It might be the only entertainment
available.
I know, but I can help Bob with the state. I can help Bob with the state of mind. This show is also sponsored by Pat Overland Bakery Goods. Now, Bob, she makes some great brownies. She makes some Canadian brownies that you would love to go to the AI concert with, and it'll blow your mind. But I understand what you're saying. That's it. I don't have any more questions. I don't want to hog up. This show is about you guys, not about me, but concerns that you may have. And I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3. I'm going to just go with you, Robin, lovely Robin. Robin, do you have concerns of it? Any concerns with AI at all?
Actually, well, I do, because I don't understand it. And
right.
Anytime that you have something that you don't really and you don't fully understand, and it's coming around in a globally, it can be a little overwhelming to some of the people that, you know, kind of resist technology.
I hear you, but Robin, can you imagine somebody you love passed away? But then there's an AI that says, instead of we cremate you, instead of we bury you, we AI you. Go, what does that mean? Well, we'll put you in a little rock, and you can take you home. And sometimes you turn on this switch, and that person appears with you, watching TV with you, having dinner with you, or even your pet that you have lost. And you,
that's
and
a
Fluffy's,
terrible idea.
Fluffy's running around. Is that a terrible idea?
God,
you got
damn.
Fluffy right there.
I think so.
What?
You can't green.
How is that terrible? Is it really?
It's terrible. I think so as well.
Do you too, Robin? Wow.
I do. Because I think it doesn't give you a chance to grieve.
You're right.
But is that a bad
right,
thing?
Robin?
You're not. We take away grief. Fluffy's right here. You're coming home with your virtual cat. Hi, Fluffy. Meow, meow. What a good kitty. And the good thing about the cat, he won't scratch your carpet. You don't need a litter box. He's right there, sitting with you. He's AI Fluffy. No?
Could
oh, come on.
Brain, I'd have to say I'm into live, not hologram.
Well, I understand, but they're gone.
Could you touch it? Could you touch it?
You could touch it. You could touch it.
Yeah, but
you can
feel anything.
Good question. Good question, Melissa. Why not? Why not?
You
could bring it back. All you need was their DNA. All you need with their DNA. And it depends on the range that you want. You can have it as a hologram, or you pay a lot more money, and you can actually come back and they make a model of it, and they put the chip in the head that will act like the person who deceased or that you loved.
No.
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 Bob, the crowds, the peasants are getting their torches. Protect me with this AI thing. The peasants are upset. Bob, don't you think Bob, you can see the possibility of that. I mean, you got these lonely people. Let's go to that lonely person who's 80, their husband passed away and everything.
Yeah.
They're grieving. Yeah. You know, God knows, usually what happens is that they die because their loved one died. It usually happens that way. Then all of a sudden you go, hello, Matilda. Hi, Sonny. I brought back Fred. Oh, good. And it's a new and improved Fred. He's not going to fool around on you. Oh, that's one step out. All you have to do is water him, and he'll come alive. Oh, I think I don't want to do it. But there's Fred. Get out of my house. I'll call the cops. Maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe it's not.
Brian,
but it's a possibility that lonely people can have their loved ones.
Brian, are we going to have in our will that we don't get brought back that way?
You will? Why not? We do have do not resuscitate. Why not? We would have to sign something that says you can't, just like the entertainment industry, you cannot copy my likeness, you cannot do this, blah, blah, blah. We would have to sign it. We'd have to sign it. And then our kids are no good, rotten kids would take it to court and say, no, Mom would like to be with us. No, Mom said that she doesn't want to be an AI. And then we go into court thing. Who cares?
No.
But you wouldn't want to do that. None of us would want to do that. You have a grieving person, and you would not bring it alive. Oh, my God. Seriously?
No.
It wouldn't be the real person. It would be like a clone.
Well, they would think like them. They have the DNA. They put the chip in. And
no,
they,
Brian.
Voila, it's
no.
Brian.
No.
No.
No, they don't have the accumulated. They don't have the accumulated experience.
Mm-hmm.
No. No,
all right,
it's wrong.
How is it wrong? Is it really? It can do a lot of good.
Listen, did you ever watch the movie Pet Cemetery? And they wanted the people
to
come back?
No, I didn't. Melissa, they come back the wrong way, evil way.
They come back. Mm-hmm.
But they're not coming back.
You miss them so much.
But they're manufactured, so they're not dead.
We're done.
Bob,
when
I tried.
We leave, we're
Bob,
done.
You and I could have had a fortune. Our company could have went beyond Amazon. We could have made millions. Look at this, Bob. And it was destroyed by a couple of peasants. Oh, my God. We had a fortune going there, Bob. We had a fortune.
Well,
but, Bob, can you see that as a use, though, as a joking scenario, but can you see that as somebody who can't let go, can't move on, that they have something to hold on to on a seriousness? Can you see that?
I can certainly I can see it as a possibility. This just so happens to be a theme that has been explored in science fiction and speculative fiction for about 100 years. So it's not like an idea that's brand spanking new. I can think of the top of my head writers that have written about this. Ray Bradbury has written several stories about it. Philip K. Dick, his masterpiece, the name escapes me now, but he's written about it. It's a very popular theme in science fiction. And it could very well become a reality in the AI world. But it's not something I can answer a simple yes or no to. It's just too complicated for me to answer that. I would say, yes, it's a possibility. Do I think it should happen? Depends on context. And I can't really break it down any further than that without going into a long convo, which we don't have time for.
I understand completely. I was just thinking that when I pass, that it'd be nice to know that somebody will bring me back. But I see that none of you guys are going to do it. Just leave the dirt on my face and say goodbye. I see it, you selfish little bastards. But
No.
See the possibility. Okay.
So, Brian, are you offended nobody's going to bring you back? Is
that it? Yeah. Well, I am.
It's always
fun, yeah. Yeah, I am pouty now because I would think somebody in this world would want me to come back, just one person, and I realize my friends are here, and they say, no, no,
no.
No,
Cindy wants you back.
Cindy wouldn't want me back. Cindy going,
yeah.
No, my girlfriend, no, she wouldn't. You don't understand. She put in the time. She says, you know what? I did my time. I don't want him to come back.
That's how my daddy felt after my mother died. He was with her for nearly 50 years.
Exactly. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I did my time. May God
yeah,
take
like,
your soul.
I have freedom now.
Yeah, I'm going on a cruise. There's a love boat. I got my ticket. Yeah, no. She did her time. She's gone. I don't know. Well, let me see. How long is this? I'm going to play this, and I know you guys could leave and everything, but it's Bob got me interested in it. The guy, I think his name is Joffrey. Is it Jeffrey Hinton or Joffrey Hinton? I don't know. It's 10 minutes. He's the godfather. He's the guy who kind of ahead of the game, who they call him the godfather of AI. Kind of listen to him because he is basically God in the future. He is the Lord. Here it is, Al. Here we go.
We'll save the world or end it. You have Jeffrey Hinton to thank. Hinton has been... Whether you think artificial intelligence will save the world or end it, you have Jeffrey Hinton to thank. Hinton has been called the godfather of AI, a British computer scientist whose controversial ideas help make advanced artificial intelligence possible and so change the world. Hinton believes that AI will do enormous good, but tonight he has a warning. He says that AI systems may be more intelligent than we know, and there's a chance the machines could take over, which made us ask the question.
The story will continue.
That's enough for me. That's enough for me. I'm not going to listen to that. That's enough. I don't want to see what happens.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to see the future. Okay. Everybody, the guest is Bob today. Bob came with our other guest, Annalisa. Bob, thank you so much for coming in and hanging around this silly group. Thank you, Bob.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
We do. Well, before we let Bob go, and you know we can't do this, we have what we call a baptism. And, Bob, you must play. You must play. We have a thing called Password, Bob. And we know you're intelligent. I can hear you. We know you're learned. I know that. We know you have a sense of humor because you're not taking me seriously. So you're a pretty good guy. But, Bob, let's see if you can interact with a human being, read her mind, and find out what the answer is. So, Bob, if you're willing, I would like to team you up with Robin.
Nope.
If you could.
Yes. Yes, I think this should be so. And we're going to bring in our champion, Melissa.
Oh, God.
And she has a choice between Pat or King, the champion. Let's battle.
Okay.
This is Password.
I'm going to choose King. Are you there,
okay,
King?
Okay, King.
And what do we get from
here?
I'm
right here.
Is King there?
Okay.
Password. The two things. We're gonna see how good Bob is, and let's see if Bob is really good trying to read your partner's mind. Bob, you're with Robin, and you're gonna connect this because we're gonna play Password. Only a couple of games. My champions have never been defeated. Bob, with you and your intelligence and your AI theory, and Robin with her artistic and her intelligence and her author ability, you should make a great team to destroy them. Okay, let's play a nice game. All right. What dramatics.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Now, you know the name, you know the game password. What it is that you only got one word clues. There's only 3 1 word clues to guess what the answer is, but it's basically simple, right? You guys know, right? All right. Bob, would you like to receive or give the clue?
I'd like to receive the clue. And how would
okay.
I
well, you will receive it. You will receive it. It's a,
are you a butcher?
We'll do
or
it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put. Now, Robin, are you listening to the show on the computer? Are you listening
no,
on
I'm
the computer?
No, I'm actually on
you,
my phone.
Okay, so you can't cheat. Okay, so you can't hear.
No,
I'm
going to
put
see.
Robin. I'm going to put Robin in my privates. Thank you. Let's clean
okay.
it up, everybody. She's going into private where she can't hear us. And I'm going to give Bob the answer, and Bob will make up the clue. Okay, Robin, enjoy the what do we call it, the guest room. There's some M&Ms. There's some brownies. I advise you not to take the brownies if you're going to drive, but it's up to you, and we'll be right back. There you go. All right, Bob, the answer, the password is rain, R-A-I-N,
okay.
Rain. All right, here we
okay.
go. We're going to open up the mic and let her come in because she could not hear us. Here we go. Hold on. All right. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Thank you. Robin, you're back. Bob is going to give you clues, but they're only one-word clues, and you have to guess the answer. Bob, begin.
Cloud burst.
Did you say plethora?
Cloud burst.
Cloud burst. Cloud burst.
Cloud burst. Oh, rain.
Whoa, yes. Ding, ding, ding. What a go. That was, wow. Looked like we got something going on here. All right. The champions are against the rope. Okay, I'm going to put King, and Melissa. Who gives, who receives?
I'll give.
You'll give. Okay, King, I'm going to put you in private. Are you ready, King? Here we go. Okay. The password is church. 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 Let's bring him in. Now, King, I brought you in the studio. Did you hear anything that we said about you about 2 seconds ago?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. It was really good. Anyway, let's play. All right. Melissa, give King
Got it.
The clue. Okay.
Are you ready, King?
Yes.
Worship.
Ooh. Ooh. Worship.
Worship? Okay.
Worship.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, when I hear the word worship, I think of the word like church and stuff like that. So,
but you have to say it. The word is worship. 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm saying church.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Oh, she's going to give you another clue. You get 3 clues. Second clue, Melissa.
Pray. Pray. P-R-A-Y. Pray.
Yeah.
Worship. Worship.
Like,
pray.
Sunday church. I don't know. I'm going to have to stick with church for right now.
Church? Church? Are you kidding me? You are correct, sir. Woo, you are correct. Woo, that was a close one. Woo, even the Lord says, hey, King, come on, hey, hey.
In the beginning, remember?
I know. You made Jesus sweat. Like, woo, I've been sweating like that since I crossed the river. Wow. All right, here we go. Now, I put Robin. Robin, you're going to get, you're going to receive a clue by Bob. So I got to put you.
Okay.
Wait a minute. How did that go? Wait, Rex, help me out here. Which one gave what? Didn't Bob give you the clue and you guessed it, right?
He did.
Bob gave you the clue.
Yeah.
Okay, now give Bob the clue. So I'm going to put Bob in private. Here you go, Bob. And it's really quickly. And here we go. Okay, Robin. The password is puppy. Puppy.
Oh.
Puppy.
Okay.
All right, let's bring him in. All right, Bob's with us right now. Bob, and I can feel Bob and Robin. They got this thing going. And there you go, Robin. First clue.
Barking.
Barking.
I didn't understand. Parking, P-A-R-K-I-N-G?
Barking with a B.
Barking.
Oh, barking.
Barking.
Okay, yeah. Dog.
Wow. Uh-oh.
What?
I'm going to go with it because it's a way. The judge. I'm looking at the judges. Hold on before there's a panic in the studio, like a panic in the disco. Hold on.
No.
A form of the word.
Nope. Not good enough.
Oh, we got to contest it. We got to go to the judges. Hold on, judges. Okay. We will not accept dog, but you have another clue to give Bob. Second clue.
Young.
Puppy.
Yeah, there you go. Woohoo. Everybody loves puppies. All right, here we go. Melissa, you go in the private room.
Yeah.
King. This is it, King. We have to have a winner. Melissa's in private. She cannot hear us. King, the password is murder. Murder.
All right.
King? Okay. Here we go. Okay. All right. Melissa is here in the studio. King will give her the clue now.
Okay. Let's see. Gotta have a good one. The clue would be Crime Stoppers.
I will allow it. I will allow it.
Crime Stoppers. Police.
Is it police? No. I'm so sorry. Get the blue buzzer. Second clue, my friend, my brother.
I know.
It's the
rocket
ship.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Okay, King. Next clue.
Okay, the next clue I give is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer. And Crime Buster, I will allow
crime
it.
Stoppers. Okay,
Crime Stoppers. I'm sorry,
killer.
How to get busters. Okay, Crime Stoppers
serial
and
killer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay, serial
what did you get?
Killer. Serial
Is it
killer.
Serial killer. Is it serial killer? No. Sorry.
Oh wow.
Third clue.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Goodness. Third clue. I'm trying to give her an easy one.
I can't really think of one.
Can I help? Can I help?
Yes. Yes.
Chalk outline. Chalk outline.
FBI.
Oh, no. Sorry. Wow. Can you tell her what the answer was? Tell her what the answer was.
The answer was murder.
Murder. Murder. Murder. Now, the new champion can dethrone. These champions, Melissa's and King. Melissa's been a champion for 5 years now. She has never lost the throne. Her butt has never hit on another seat. She's always been on that throne. This could be it. Bob comes in the studio like a hurricane and a tornado, and he takes the studio and he takes it by force, and he will dethrone the Queen Melissa.
No.
If they answer this,
it won't happen.
It could be possible. Mm-hmm. Now here we go. I am putting you in private, Robin, and giving Bob the clue. Here we go. This could be it. A dethroning, Bob. The password is museum. Museum is the password. Museum. Let's bring in. All right, Robin, here we go. Bob is going to give you the clue. You could win the game. Here we go.
Artifacts.
Art. To facts.
History.
No. Next clue, my friend Bob. Next clue. Okay. You win the game.
Good.
Smithsonian.
Ooh, Smithsonian.
That's a lie.
Did you say what? What did you say? Could this be the answer to this? Oh, my God, you have dethroned the queen. You have decapitated Melissa's head off the throne. You have won. You have won the game. Hey, how you doing? We just had password. Yes, it was a murder out here. They took Melissa off the throne. But Melissa didn't go private. No, she did not. She refused to relinquish power. She has put fake electors into the studio to get rid of Bob and Robin. But it didn't work. Melissa and King have left the studio. King vowed to do a drive-by, but we already know he's not going to do it because he doesn't have a license. But we want to hail the King. That's who we want. Nick and King. The new champs, Bob and Robin. Congratulations, kids. What a game.
Do you know what this queen says? Let them eat cake. That's what I have.
Let them eat cake? Uh-oh. Wow. Good game, guys. It's good games. Well, I want to thank you. I'm hoping we all had fun. And Robin, you have brought a great guest. And Bob, what a treat. And Bob, seriously, if do you have Robin's email or anything like that? Could get a hold.
I would love to
interview you.
I do. Okay, I do. She'll slot me in. I can't wait to talk a bit more about my novel and get to know you a bit better.
Oh, you'll regret one of those.
Oh boy!
I can't wait to see you either. Wonderful guy. Thank you, Robin. I want to thank the psychic who saw the Melissa and King's loss, Pat, over the line. Thank you, Pat. She saw it in the cards. She knew it. Thank you, Pat. Show is sponsored by Pat Over the Line Bakery. She's not biased. She has devil and angel food cake. You decide. There you go. It's a spiritual bakery. I want to thank our guest, Bob. Bob, you've been fun. You're a terrific guy. We can't wait to have you come back and do a proper interview and have some fun with us. Thank you, sir, for coming in the studio. We want to thank Bob for that.
My pleasure.
There you go. Yeah. And I want to thank, of course, the lovely Melissa. What would we do without our queen? I mean, we're going to keep your – we're going to make an AI out of you, so you can't leave. We'll always remember you as an AI. Melissa the queen.
That's my name.
Mm. Vive la France. Vive la Mrs. Melissa. She will never die. I want to thank the King, Mr. King. We have his song coming out, Talking Smack. And Sally, get it. Go through him. King, tell people how they get your song, please. And the man needs money. It costs him money to make the song. King.
You can go to Apple Music. You can type in King Crab Talking Smack, and you can purchase some things there. And I'll start there for right now. You know, I actually been promoting the Apple Music lately. So go to Apple Music and grab.
Okay. And you can always come in here if you didn't get it, because I will tell you all about how to reach King, too. You know, artists, man, I'm going to tell you something about artists. We've been a champion for independent artists for all our lives, ever since we've been on the air. And the blood and the sweat that they do, the sacrifice that they do, and I'm not kidding you. Any artist, but independent artists, the chance, some of them are having a second chance. And the art is good. And we appreciate the art. I understand. We appreciate the art. But you know what? I have never seen an artist when the bill came to the door and said, you know what, I'm going to draw you a picture of my artwork. This should be a couple of months for the rent. There you go, buddy. I've never seen that happen. They do need to appreciate them. And if you like their art, compensate them. I'm serious. Compensate them. Like any other trade in the world, that you don't have your plumber come in and going, hey, great job, Bob, and you hit him on his plumber's butt and send him on his way with a donut. You have to pay the plumber. You got to pay the plumber. Compensate our artists. Help them create more stuff, go forward. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. Thank you guys for coming in. I cannot believe how great guests I have. I think I have myself a convoy. See you guys tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. California time. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye,
Brian.
Right.
Bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Oh, yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Back off them hogs. Good, 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we had great big convoy.